Our Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we thank you for the privilege to fellowship on the written word and to fellowship with one another. And our Father, we ask that as we look into your word, every eye is open to see, every ear is open to hear, every heart is receptive to the teaching and to the preaching of the word. In the name of Jesus, we receive the spirit of insight and revelation in all of this house. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Father. We give you praise, for we know it's done. For in Jesus' name we've prayed. Amen. You can take your seat. Hallelujah. All right. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Genesis 1, 26. It says, then God said, let us make man in our image, okay, according to our likeness. Let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Hallelujah. Imago Dei, right? Okay. So we've seen quite a number of things. Just a brief recap for you. You know, we began by saying that the intent of God right from the beginning was to make a man. All right, not just any man, a man in his image and in his likeness. Image there, selem in the Hebrew, which means resemblance. Then likeness, dimuth, right, which means similitude. All right, so that was God's plan right from Genesis. God wanted to make man to look exactly like him, to be his resemblance, to have his nature. Praise the Lord. And we said that is called Imago Dei, right? Okay, in Bible theology, a Latin word that means image of God. Okay, Imago Dei. So that was God's plan right from Genesis. All right, then we see only a partial reflection is achieved, right? In verse 27 of that same chapter, when it says that, so God created man in his own image, in the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. That is not God's plan, verse 26, being accomplished. Do you get it? That is God in the process of accomplishing his plan. Follow that? So what it means there when it says in the image of God, you know, in his likeness, would refer to dominion, right? Remember that? Okay, verse 26, Genesis 1, it said, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Okay, so that was the context in which man was made in the image and the likeness of God. The psalmist makes this very clear. Psalm 8 verse 6, it says, you've made him to have dominion, him there being the man, over the works of your hands. You've put all things under his feet. It says, all sheep and oxen, even the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea that pass through the parts of the sea. Okay, so the question now would be, does man look like God? I think we gave a funny answer yesterday. You said yes and no, right? Okay, so yes in a context, no in another context. So yes in the context on terms of a dominion over the earth, man was made to be God's ambassador over the created world. Okay, but no in terms of God's full image. All right, the Imago Dei. So we said, how would man look like God? Man would look like God fully by eating from the tree of life. And the tree of life, we said, is not a literal tree, right? Okay, it's a figurative expression that just simply represents depending on God to receive life. Okay, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil will be the exact opposite. Okay, then we see in Genesis 3 that Satan comes on the scene, right? And then he tempts man. And interestingly, that temptation is to man to look like God, right? Okay, but interestingly, without God, all right? And you know, that is what the tree of knowledge represents. Do you get it? Knowledge refers to man's own wisdom. Do you follow that? Man's own craftiness, his own skills, all right? Aside from God. All right, so men are taught that it could look like God without God, and you know, we call that what? Pride, okay? Rebellion, okay? And then man falls, okay? Then interestingly, the opposite happens. Man begins to look less and less and less like God. Satan tells man that the day you eat of this tree, that is, you depend upon your own strength, your own wisdom, to look like God, okay, you will look like God, but interestingly, man looks less and less like God. God is light, right? In him is no darkness at all. But in the man, we see corruption, darkness, right? All the thoughts of his heart, evil continually. I mean, that looks nothing like God, right? Okay, not only that, we then see man make idols, right? And an idol, we said, is, you know, the height of blasphemy. An idol is giving the image of God to objects when man was supposed to be that image. Alright, so man takes things of wood and stone and says, you look like God, when actually it was man who was supposed to look like God. Follow that? Okay, so that is blasphemy. Alright, yet God cannot be stopped. Amen. His counsel will stand. Amen. His purposes will remain irrespective of the man. Alright, so throughout the Old Testament, we then begin to see God sort of recreate his image in man. Now, how does God do this? He does that through his spirit. All right, so in the Old Testament, you have situations whereby the spirit of God will come upon a man, right, temporarily, and then for a split second, that man will look like God, act like God, talk like God, okay? But the issue in the Old Testament was that the spirit never stayed. Okay, the spirit never remained. He came, he left, and so on and so forth. Okay, so you have a man temporarily look like God, then much later is transformed back to the image of sin. Okay, but again, God promises through his prophets a time when the spirit would remain. You know, he says through Ezekiel that he will put his spirit in us, right? Through Jeremiah, he tells us that he will give us a new heart, he will write his laws in our hearts, amen? So man's nature will be changed, amen? Something will happen to the very heart of man. All right, and in that man, you would find the image and the likeness of God. All right, then we moved on. In the next session, we saw Jesus as the Imago Dei. Remember that? We said that Jesus is God in the flesh. John 1:1, John 1:14, Hebrews 1:3, Colossians 1:15. Okay, Jesus is the image of the invisible God. Okay, he's a con. He's HD. Remember that word? Okay, he looks like him, talks like him, acts like him, does like him. You know, everything you see in Jesus will be found in God. There is nothing Jesus said or did that God does not say or do. Do you get it? So Jesus is that full, you know, I wrote here, is the ideal image of God. You follow that? The ideal image, what God actually looks like. That is Jesus, amen? In human flesh. All right, so it's Imago Dei, you know, and no, for this particular teaching, remember we're focusing on power. Okay, so we said it's also the ideal image of God in power. Remember that? We said God speaks, right? God sees ahead. God does supernaturally. We see the same thing with Jesus. You know, he spoke like God, inspired by God. He saw ahead. Remember that? Supernaturally. And he also did by the power of God. Amen. So, but remember how we ended yesterday? We said it cannot end with Jesus. Right? Because God's plan, Genesis 1:26, it says, let us make man a dam, that can mean mankind. Do you get it? Alright, so let us make mankind in our image. So you know, that plan cannot end with one man. Do you get it? Okay, so Jesus is Imago Dei for a purpose. Hallelujah. For a purpose. Now remember that everything Jesus is, he is because of man. Amen. everything it is because of man. In Genesis 3 verse 15, when the Messiah is first of all promised, you see that when he's coming on the scene, what is he doing? He's saving man. Do you get it? So it seems like the job description of Jesus is tied around man. Do you get it? Everything it is, everything he does is for man. His work is for man. Look at how Isaiah says this. Isaiah 53. Let's see that quickly. Isaiah 53 verse 4. Okay, it says, surely he, you see he there is capitalized, right? Okay, so referring to the Christ, has borne our griefs. You see that? Underline R. Did you spot that? He bore our griefs. You see that? He carried our sorrows. Underline that. Our sorrows, okay? Our griefs. Yet we esteemed him stricken by God, smitten by God, and afflicted. 5 says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. Underline R. You see that? He was bruised for our iniquities. Underline that. For our iniquities. Okay, the chastisement of our peace, you see that? For our peace, underline that, was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Underline that we, 6 says, all, underline that we all, underline we, okay, like sheep have gone astray. We, underline that we have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him, underline that on him, the iniquity of us all. Underline that us all. So you see here, we sinned, right? We lost God's image. We went astray, but he pays the price for our actions. Hallelujah. Okay, so Jesus is the vicarious man. All right? That's what is called, again, in Bible theology, the vicarious man. What does that mean? It means that he carries out tasks. He does things. He bears the liability and the loss on behalf of others. You get it? He does things on behalf of others. He is vicarious. Praise the Lord. Okay, so that is what Isaiah reveals here. And see that the Apostle Paul, much later, would derive his revelation from Isaiah. See 1 Corinthians verse 15. Now, I've told you that the epistles are discoveries, right? From the Old Testament. See 1 Corinthians 15. He says, moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you. Okay, underline that, the gospel which also you received and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. 3 says, for I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for what? Our sins. Underline that, for our sins. Now, is that Isaiah 53, verse 5, right? Okay, he was wounded for what? Our transgressions. You see that? So you see where Paul got that from. Alright? Now look at this according to the scriptures. Do you get it? So Paul must have read, right? The scriptures. That is where he got this from. Amen. For it says, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. According to the scriptures means just as the scriptures have said. Amen. I know that Isaiah 53 is one of such scriptures. Okay, when you see scriptures in the New Testament, majorly it refers to Genesis to Malachi. Do you get it? That was their scripture back then. Do you get it? You know, when Paul was writing 1 Corinthians, there was no 1 Corinthians. So when Paul says scriptures, what is he referring to? Genesis to Malachi. Do you get it? Okay, so Isaiah 53 will be one of such scriptures. So you see that his death, his burial, and his resurrection were for us, not for himself. Now, that word for is quite important. Quite important, okay? The word for in verse 3, it translates the Greek huper. H-U-P-E-R. Huper, okay? It means on behalf of. On behalf of, okay? For the sake of. Now it speaks of the substitutionary work of Christ. Okay? Now that word huper is the language and the heartbeat of the New Testament. Okay? The work of Christ for man. Okay? All that Jesus did, he did with man in mind. run through now. Look at Romans 4, verse 25. Romans 4:25. It says, who there being Jesus, okay, was delivered up because of our offenses. You see that? Underline that, okay, because of our offenses. And was raised because of our justification. Underline that, because of our justification. So what did Jesus stand to gain from his work? Huh? Nothing. Do you get it? What did we stand to gain? Everything. So he did everything that he did for us. It is man who enjoys the benefits. Okay? He died to bring man to God. His work is for man. Look at 1 Peter 3 verse 18. 1 Peter 3:18. It says, for Christ also suffered once for sins. Underline that, for sins. You see that word hupa? Okay, now I told you is the heartbeat of the New Testament. It says he also suffered for sins. Now who sins? Did he have sins? No. So who sins? Our sins. Amen. It says the just for the unjust. Underline that, for the unjust. That's us. Amen. It says that he may bring who? Himself? No. Bring us. Underline that, bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit. Okay? He died to give us salvation. 1 Thessalonians 5:9-10. Let's see that. 1 Thessalonians 5:9-10. It says, for God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through. Underline that. To obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. 10 says, who died for us. Hallelujah. Underline that for us. That whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. You see that? So he died for us while we were yet in sin. See Romans 5 verse 6. Romans 5:6. It says, for when we're still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Hallelujah. Underline that, Christ died for the ungodly. So we did not merit his sacrifice. Do you see that? Certainly not by our good works. Yet he died for all. 2 Corinthians 5:14. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, underline that, one died for all. Now that one is Jesus, right? Okay. Then all died, or all were dead. 15 says, and he died for all, underline that, for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them. Underline that, who died for them and rose again. Hallelujah. Okay, he tastes death for everyone. Hebrews 2:9. It says, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, may taste death for everyone. See that? For everyone. Jesus is that good shepherd who lays his life down for his sheep. John 10:11. John 10:11. It says, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for, underline that, for the sheep. In verse 15 of that same chapter, he says, as the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Underline that, okay? For. You see that Caiaphas, the high priest in his day, when they came together to plot against Jesus, unknowingly, he prophesies about his work. You see that in John 11:50. Okay? What does Caiaphas say? Caiaphas says that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people. Do you see that? For the people, underline that, okay? And not that the whole nation should perish. You see that? And John lets us know, he gives us insight, that Caiaphas was actually prophesying, being high priest that year. Hallelujah. Okay? So he was actually speaking ahead of the work of Christ, that Christ will die for the nation, and not for that nation only, but also that it would gather together in one the children of God who were scattered abroad. John 11:51-52. See that? So Caiaphas, the high priest, reveals the work of the Savior in prophecy. Okay? Jesus came to serve men. Hallelujah. Matthew 20 verse 28. Matthew 20 verse 28. It says, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and give his life a ransom for many. Hallelujah. Underline that, a ransom for many. So his service is to give his life as the ransom for many. Okay, now a different Greek word is used here, translated as for. Now is the Greek word anti, A-N-T-I, okay, which is quite similar to hupa. It means in place of. Do you get it? In place of, in substitution for. In place of, in substitution for. So he gave his life a ransom in place of, right? Many, in substitution for many. Hallelujah. So everything that Christ did, he did on our behalf. You see that? For our advantage. All right. He is that vicarious man. He does things for the sake of others. Hallelujah. Okay. And all that he did is love in demonstration. John 15 verse 13. It says that there. It says, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. Hallelujah. That is love. In 1 John 3 verse 16, John says similarly there. He says, by this we know love, because he has laid down his life for us. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Okay. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. So the work of Christ is the love of God on display. Romans 5 verse 8, Paul says that there. He says, but God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we're still sinners, Christ died for us. Hallelujah. You see that? So that is the demonstration, the revelation of God's love for us in all that he did for us in the man Christ Jesus. And not only that, upon his resurrection, he receives a new office and he receives a new name. Philippians 2 verse 9 says as much. Let's see that there. Philippians 2 9. It says, therefore God also has highly exalted him. Now that is Jesus the Christ. Okay? And given him, that is Jesus, the name which is above every other name. Now name means what? Authority, right? Okay, so he receives a name, power, which is above every other authority. Now he receives a new office, right? A new name at his resurrection. Now that office is at God's right hand. You see that? Ephesians 1 verse 19. Ephesians 1 19. It says, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe? It says, according to the working of his mighty power, 20 says, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand. You see that? Seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, or in the heavenly. So Jesus is there today, praise the Lord, at God's right hand. Now look at this, as a man. You follow that? He remained a man. Now why did Jesus remain a man? Why is he a man? As our representative before God. You see that? So that office is for us. Do you see that? Everything he does is for us. Everything he is for us. You see that? So he remained a man to intercede for us. Hallelujah. Look at Hebrews 7 verse 25. Look at how the writer of Hebrews says that there. Hebrews 7 verse 25. It says, therefore, he there being Jesus, okay, is able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. You see that? He lives to make intercession for them. Now, to make intercession is not to keep begging God. Amen. I know some have said that, you know, they had visions whereby they went to heaven, and then in heaven they saw a throne room, and in the throne room there are three thrones. Okay, then God is in the middle, then at the right hand, amen, is Jesus, then at the left hand is a dove. Oh, you don't get it. A dove. All right. So one even said that God was so angry, said, ha, after all I did in Christ, people still reject my work. So he wanted to come to the earth with wrath and anger. Then Jesus went on his knees, said, interesting, he said his hands are still bleeding. Do you get it? That is some hemorrhage. You know, 22 years now, right? He's still bleeding. Jesus needs to see a doctor. Okay, he's still bleeding in his hands. So he goes on his knees. He says, Father, check him now. Amen. Look at my hands. Okay, so please just calm down a bit. As though God is a toddler that needs to be pacified with toys, you know, and so on and so forth. But that is not what is being referred to here. Okay, that vision is from a wrong interpretation of this verse. Now, that phrase, make intercession, it translates the Greek entukao. Okay, entukao, that's entukchano. Entukchano, the last O accentuated, which literally means to hit the mark. Hallelujah. To hit the mark. That word is the antonym of amatia. You know what an antonym is? The opposite, right? Okay. Of amatia, that's H-A-R-M-A-R-T-I-A, the Greek word for sin. Okay. Which literally means to miss the mark. Do you get it? So it's the exact opposite. Amatia is to what? Miss the mark. And to car is what? To hit the mark. Okay. So you can say it this way, that he always lives to hit the mark for us. Hallelujah. Simply put, he is our righteousness. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Okay, so the intercession of Jesus simply means Jesus is our righteousness before the Father. Do you see that? God does not look at us, not that he's begging God. Do you get it? Okay, God does not look at us to judge us. God looks at Jesus, his perfect son. Hallelujah. So we are perfect in him. So unlike the sacrifices of the Old Testament, the effects of his work last forever. Praise the Lord. You know, that is the context of Hebrews anyways. You know, we are perfected forever. Hebrews 10 verse 10 tells us that. Hebrews 10, 10. It says, by that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Christ once. Hallelujah. Underline that, okay, once. The word once then means once and for all in the Greek. Okay, Jesus would never need to offer again. One sacrifice was enough. See verse 14 of that same chapter. Verse 14, it says, for by one offering, he has perfected forever. Hallelujah. Okay, underline that. Perfected forever those who are being sanctified. Okay, so one work was enough. Hallelujah. So you see that all of this he did and is doing for men. Do you see that? Everything Christ did, everything Christ is doing, and let me even add, everything Christ will yet do is for men. So what he did is only good news for us because it results in our benefits. Do you follow that? I remember I taught this somewhere and the folks were quite looking at me. I said, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus is not good news. Amen? It is not good news. What is the good news is the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus for us. Do you get it? That is the good news. That work is vicarious. He didn't do it for himself. He did it for who? For man. Hallelujah. That is the good news. Okay. The fact that it results in our benefit. Hallelujah. Okay. So he defeats death, not for himself, but for us. You follow that? He defeats sin, not for himself, but for us. He defeats the devil, not for himself, but for us. You see that? What did he need? Nothing. What did we need? Everything. We are the ones in need, not him. Everything he did and everything he is for the sake of his people. Is that clear so far? All right, thank you. Now, let's now streamline a bit. Now, it's also Imago Dei for our benefit. Remember? Right? Everything he is, right? Everything he does is for the benefit of men. So, it's also Imago Dei, the image of God, for our benefit. Now, remember that Imago Dei means is fully God, right? Completely God. Manifested in the flesh. Okay, that is, it looks like God, it resembles God, okay, completely as a man. Now the question is, why did Jesus become a man? For us. Do you see that? Okay, look at how John says this. 1 John 3 verse 5. 1 John 3:5. He says, and you know that he there being Jesus Christ, was manifested to take away our sins. Underline that, manifested to take away our sins, and in him there is no sin. You see, he says similarly in verse 8 of that same chapter, it says, he who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested. Underline that, manifested. Underline purpose as well. Now look at this. That he might destroy the works of the devil. Underline that. Destroy the works of the devil. You see that? So why was he manifested? Sins. Okay? And to destroy the works of the devil. The word manifested, used here, it translates the Greek phanero. P-H-A-N-E-R-O-O. P-H-A-N-E-R-O-O. Okay, the last O accentuated, which means to expose oneself. That's that word. To expose oneself to view. Okay, to show oneself, to become visible. Alright? Referring to his incarnation, right? Right? Okay, so he became visible to man. How? By becoming a man. Do you follow that? Okay, and that man looked exactly like God in word, power, and deed, we've said, right? Okay, now this he did again for us. You see that John says it was manifested to do what? To take away our sins. You see that? So Jesus becomes a man. It was manifested, that's what that means, to fulfill what God said, Genesis 3:15, that the promised seed would come. Hallelujah. So you see that his incarnation is for us. Amen. All right. So it is only good news that Jesus became a man because he became a man for us. Hallelujah. You see that? Okay. For us. Now pay attention to this. Now remember, God's plan was to make man in his image, right? Genesis 1:26. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Okay? Now we've said that this plan was realized in Jesus the Christ. Remember that? Okay? Who is the image of God. Albeit, it cannot stop with Jesus. It can't. Otherwise, God's plan hasn't yet been fulfilled. So in Jesus, Imago Dei is realized. But God's plan is to have his image in several men. Okay? Not just one. So, Jesus will be God's tool. Do you follow that? Okay? To accomplish that original plan. Now, pay close attention to this. Now, in the New Testament, Jesus is called the firstborn. See Colossians 1 verse 15. Please turn your Bible there. I want to see this, okay? Colossians 1:15. It says, is the image of the invisible God. It says, the firstborn over all creation. On land that, the firstborn over all creation. Now, Bible theologians have argued over what creation? Amen? Is it everything that was made or the new creation? We say it's the new creation. Amen? Okay, see verse 18. It calls him the firstborn from the dead. That makes that clear. Right? It says, and he's the head of the body, the church. You see that? So he's the firstborn over what? The church. You see that? The new creation. Who is the beginning? The firstborn from the dead. You see that? Underline that, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. That is the first place. Hallelujah. Now that word firstborn, quite interesting in the Greek, is the word prototokos in the Greek. P-R-O-T-O-T-O-K-O-S. P-R-O-T-O-T-O-K-O-S. It means the first among others who follow. Do you follow that? The first among others who follow. So, Jesus is not just God's image. Jesus is also a prototype. Do you follow that? That's what firstborn means. Is the image of God to be a model. Hallelujah. Okay? You know that God's plan is not just to have one man, right? Who looks like him. His plan is to have several men, right? Who would look like him, right? Okay? So, Jesus is that example. Do you follow that? That's what firstborn means. Prototokos, okay? Is that example that prototype of how those men would look. You know, it's just like today, you want to make an iPhone, you know how they do it, right? They get the prototype, right? And what is the prototype? How the phones will look, right? Or you want to make a car, you make the designs, right? You said this is the prototype. So every iPhone 11 will look like this first iPhone 11. Now that is Jesus. Do you get it? He is the example, the model of what others will look like. Do you get it? The first among others who will follow. Hallelujah. Just like the prototype of the iPhone 11 will be the first, right? Amongst other iPhones, right? That will follow. Okay, same with Jesus. And that is why Jesus is called the second Adam. Praise the Lord. Okay, or the second man. See 1 Corinthians verse 15. Let's see that quickly. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 46. It says, however, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, and afterward the spiritual. Look at 47. It says, the first man, underline that the first man was of the earth, made of dust. Now, who is that? Adam, right? Okay, now it says, the second man. Do you see that? Or you can say, the second Adam. Do you follow that? Is the Lord from heaven. Now, who is that? Jesus. And look at 48. It says, as was the man of dust, so also are those who are of dust. Do you see that? That is mankind. So, everyone he gave birth to looks like him. Do you follow that? They are as him or like him. Now look at this. And as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly. That is the new creation. Hallelujah. Okay, look at 49. It says, and as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image, hallelujah, of the heavenly man, that is Jesus. Do you see that? So you see, there are two Adams, right? The first Adam, right? All his offspring look like him. Now there is the second Adam, right? Now all his offspring also look like him. That means that in Christ Jesus will be found a new humanity. Praise the Lord. A new race of men. And all of them will look just like him. The way every man under Adam, all the offspring of Adam looked exactly like him. Do you follow that? So Jesus is the first of many that will follow. Do you get it now? Prototokos. Hallelujah. Many who would look exactly like him. Just the same way the first Adam was the prototype, right? The model of the first humanity. If you check Genesis 5 verse 3, you see something quite interesting there. Please turn your Bible there. Let's see that. Genesis 5 verse 3. Look at what it says about Adam. It says that Adam begot a son, Genesis 5 3, in his own likeness. Did you see that? Okay. After his image, and named him Seth. So his offspring looked just like him, right? That is why he's called the first Adam. Can I say anybody follow that? Okay, everyone who comes from him looks like him. Now, in the same vein, Jesus as the second Adam would be the prototype of the second humanity. Praise the Lord. So Jesus would beget men. Hallelujah. Do you follow that? Just like Adam, right? But look at this, in his own image and in his own likeness. Now remember, that image and that likeness is the image and the likeness of God. Come on, right? So God's plan, Genesis 1:26, will be fulfilled where? In Christ. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You follow this? All right. Now how? Okay. How does God form his image in man? Amen. How did he form his image in Jesus? How? By the Spirit. Right? So the Spirit is what would make this possible. And Jesus dies to give us that Spirit. Look at John 16 verse 7. Oh, thank you, Lord. John 16 verse 7. Please turn your Bible there. I want you to see all this text, okay? John 16 verse 7. It says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. It says, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. Do you see that? It says, but if I depart, I will send him to you. The Helper is the Spirit. Look at John 14 verse 16. John 14:16. It says, and I'll pray the Father, and he will give you what? another helper. You see that? That he might abide with you forever. Now, who is that helper? Verse 17 tells us, it says, the Spirit of Truth. Hallelujah. Whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Hallelujah. So this is how men will be created in the image and in the likeness of God. How? By receiving the Spirit. Do you get it? So once a man receives that Spirit, he becomes what? In the image of God. But you notice that this image will last forever. Hallelujah. Look at verse 16 again. It says, and I'll pray the Father, and he will give you what? Another helper, that he might abide with you forever. Forever means that the Spirit will never leave. Hallelujah. Remember, unlike the Old Testament, right? When the Spirit will come upon a man, then depart, right? Come upon a man, depart. But in the New Testament, by the work of Christ, the Spirit of Christ will come upon a man and remain in that man forever. Hallelujah. So that image, God's image, would remain in that man forever. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord. Do you see this? Okay. Now, Jesus dies and is raised from the dead as he promised, right? As the scriptures had said. Now, look at this. At his resurrection, he states again that promise, that statement concerning the Spirit. Look at Acts 1:8. Remember, we're looking at the image of God in the context of power, right? Okay, we can look at this in different perspectives. Okay, but we streamline this particular teaching to power. Look at Acts 1:8. Hallelujah. Acts 1:8. Now look at this. It says, but you shall receive what? Power. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Now, can we say you will look like God? Come on. Okay, when the Spirit comes upon you in power, huh? Okay, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So the man with the Spirit of God would resemble God in power. Come on, do you see that there? You see that Jesus says similarly, Luke 24 verse 49. Look at how he says it there. Please turn your Bible there. Luke 24:49. It says, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. Now, what's that? The promise of the Father? It's the Spirit. Amen? But tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. Hallelujah. Underline that, endued with power from on high. Okay? So, the Spirit, the promise of the Father, would change the man upon whom he comes. Okay, Jesus says here that he would endue them with power just like he was. Amen. Now, that word endued, quite interesting in the Greek. You know, I told you that the Greek has a way of making the Bible text come alive. Amen. It's the word enduo. Endued. E-N-D-U-O. Enduo. Which literally means to be clothed with. Hallelujah. To be clothed with. So, look at what Jesus is saying here. He's saying that those who receive the Spirit will be clothed with power. Come on. Hallelujah. Okay. So something will change about those men. Yes, the Spirit of Christ coming to those men will save those men from sin, right? Will give them forgiveness of sins, right? But more than death, they will receive what? Abilities. Praise the Lord. Okay. They will be clothed with power. Look at Mark 16 verse 15. Mark 16 verse 15. It says, and he said to them, he there being Jesus, okay, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. 16 says, who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Now, he who believes does what? Receives the Spirit, right? Okay, look at 17. And these signs will follow those who believe. Can we say those who receive the Spirit? Is it the same thing? Okay, it says, in my name, in my authority, they what? Cast out demons. Hallelujah. It says, they will speak with new tongues, they will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick. Hallelujah. And they, that is the sick, will recover. So, the Spirit of Christ will come upon men in the New Testament, right? Not only upon them, it would also live where? In them, right? And then we will see men who begin to talk like God, men who begin to see like God, and men who begin to do like God. Do you follow that? So at salvation, sinners receive that Spirit. And what is the result of that? they look like God immediately. Do you get it? We are not growing into his image. Do you follow what I just said? Okay, it is who we are now. Look at 1 John 4:17. Oh, thank you, Lord. 1 John 4:17. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. It says, because as he is, so are we in this world. Do you see that? So it doesn't say, as he is, so are we when we die. Come on. As he is, we'll grow into someday. Huh? As he is, we'll be when we pray, we fast. Amen. Come on. We study our Bible 10 hours, 20 hours. Come on. We give to charity. We give to church. Huh? We get 10,000 men saved. Are all of this good? Yes. Okay. But as he is, so are we where? Now in this world. Do you see that? Now, is that Imago Dei? Genesis 1:26? Yes. So, at salvation, men born again look exactly like God. Hallelujah. Okay? We are called the sons of God. Look at John 1:12. Run through now. John 1:12. It says, but as many as received him, him there being the Lord Jesus Christ, to them he gave the right. Say, I have the right. To become children of God. Do you see that? Underline that, okay? Children of God, to those who believe in his name, who are born not of blood, not of the will of flesh, not of the will of man, but of God. Look at Romans 8:15. Romans 8:15. It says, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption. Hallelujah. See, I've received the spirit of adoption. Okay, the word adoption, the eustagia, which means placement as a son. Do you get it? Okay, you have the standing as a son. It says, by whom we cry out, Abba Father. 16 says, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are what? The children of God. Say, we are the children of God. Look at Galatians 4:6. Similarly there. Galatians 4:6. It says, and because you are sons. Hallelujah. You see that? Say, we are sons. It says, and because you're sons, God has set forth the spirit of his son into our hearts. Doing what? Crying out, Abba Father. 7 says, therefore you are no longer a slave, but a son. Say, I'm no longer a slave. I'm a son. Underline that, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Hallelujah. So we are sons of God. Now, what does son mean? Remember that word son means what? Resemblance. Remember that? Okay, one who looks like another. So when Christians are called sons of God, that means that we look exactly like him. Praise the Lord. Okay, so God in Christ has therefore made men in his own image and after his own likeness. Genesis 1:26 has been fulfilled. Hallelujah. In Christ. Look at Colossians 3:9. Oh, thank you, Lord. Colossians 3:9. Look at how Paul says this there. It says, do not lie to one another. It says, since you, now you there are Christians, okay? The new creation, have put off the old man. Underline that. You have put off the old man with his deeds. Now that old man is who you were in the first Adam, right? When you bore the image of Adam. So look at what it says here. It says, you have put off that old man. Hallelujah. Okay? Remember that old man of sin, right? That old man of pride, rebellion against God, it says you've put him away. 10 says, and I've put on the new man. Say, I've put on the new man. Underline that, okay? I've put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge. Now look at this. According to the image of him who created him. Come on. You see that? Underline that. According to the image of him who created him. That is, we now look like him who created the new creation. Do you see that? So we resemble God. Do you get it? We resemble him. Paul repeats this same truth. Ephesians 4:24. Ephesians 4:24. Okay? It says, and that you put on the new man who was created according to God. Underline that, created according to God or resembling God, the Greek says, okay? In true righteousness and holiness. So what is Paul saying here? Paul is saying, act like you already are. Do you get it? You are a new man created in God's image, therefore act accordingly. Okay, speaking of conduct, that's what it means here when it says put on the new man, referring to conduct. You follow that? Okay, act like you already are. Amen. Okay, so in Christ, we have God's nature. Look at 1 Peter 1:4. Oh, glory. Oh, glory. Oh, glory. Oh, glory. 2 Peter 1:4. It says, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these, now look at this, you may be partakers of the divine nature. Underline that. Partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So in Christ, we partake of the divine nature. Do you see that? What does that mean? It means that we look like God. We have his DNA. Praise the Lord. We are born of his seed. Look at 1 Peter 1:23. 1 Peter 1:23. It says, having been born again, say, I've been born again. Say, I've been born again. Say, I've been born again. Okay? It says, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible. Underline that. Incorruptible. Through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. You see that? So, being born with the incorruptible seed of God. That word seed here literally means sperm. Do you get it? What creates life? The origin of life. So, look at what Peter says here. Peter says, we are not born of the physical seed. Do you get it? The corruptible, but the spiritual. Incorruptible. So, like we say today, God now our papa. Do you get it? He's our father. Praise the Lord. Okay? And the seed of God remains in every man born again. 1 John 3:9. It says, whoever has been born of God does not sin. Do you see that? It says, for his seed remains in him. Underline that. His seed remains in him. Underline that, okay? His seed remains in him. And he cannot sin because he has been born of God. You see that? Underline that, okay? Born of God. So, being born of God changes our very nature. You see that? It changes who we are. So, just like Genesis 1 and Genesis 3, we are now God's seed. Okay? In the seed of the woman, Christ Jesus. Remember what we said about seed, right? A seed is the replica of another. So, by the Spirit of Christ in us, we are God's replicas on the earth, in word, deed, and in power. Praise the Lord. So, in Christ, God shares his omnipotence, okay? He shares his omnipresence, and he shares his omniscience with man. Do you get it? Okay, so they too are now like God in power, in revelation, and in utterance. They now resemble God. Do you follow that so far? Okay, now that resemblance is what Paul calls the gifts of the Spirit. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 12. Please turn there as we begin to close. Oh, thank you, Lord. 1 Corinthians 12 verse 4. It says, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Now, everything Paul calls the gifts of the Spirit are actually characteristics of God. They are. Amen? In verse 7, he calls these gifts the manifestation of the Spirit. It says, but the manifestation of the Spirit has been given to each one, that is every believer, for the profit of all. You see that there? Now, remember that God's life is in us, right? Okay, his nature. Now that life is his Spirit. So what are the gifts of the Spirit? The gifts of the Spirit are the manifestation of that life. Do you get it? So the life of God in us made evident through us. Remember, the word Spirit speaks of essence, right? Okay, his very nature. So we have that nature now, right? So what Paul calls the gifts of the Spirit are a manifestation of that nature. Do you get it? Through us. So all the gifts of the Spirit are actually the characteristics that we inherited. Come on! Okay? From our father. Just like you see a child who looks exactly like the dad, right? Okay? Children today take the apparent skin color, right? Come on! Okay? They take the eye color, right? Take the hair color. They look like the parents, right? In the same way, we took after our father's attributes. Hallelujah. Come on, is this making someone excited? Don't be a donut. Come on. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Okay, so the same way you see a child who looks like the dad, amen. Okay, in all ramifications, in the same way we take after our father. Okay, so we look like him, but look at this. Our father is a spirit. Do you get it? So you cannot have coconut head like your father. He's not a physical father, right? You cannot have his eye color, amen? His hair color. But you know what you can have? His attributes. Now, those attributes are what? Spiritual. Do you follow that? Okay, now you see that Paul leads them, verses 8 to 11. 1 Corinthians 12, as we close. Okay, so what did we inherit from our father? Do you get it? Okay, he leads them for us, verses 8 to 11. It says, for to one is given the word of wisdom. Hallelujah. Underline that. The word of wisdom through the Spirit. Do you see that? You observe Paul says what? Through the Spirit. That is what? His nature. So when you are born of him, you have this. Come on. Okay, it says to another, the word of knowledge. Underline that. Haha. Thank you, Lord. The word of knowledge through the same Spirit, that is his nature, that we now have. It says to another, faith by the same Spirit, his nature. Come on. Okay, to another, gifts of healings. Praise the Lord. Underline that, gifts of healings by the same Spirit, his nature, we have. To another, the working of miracles. Okay, you can see by Spirit is implied there, right? Okay, underline that, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy by Spirit. Okay, underline prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits by Spirit. Amen. To another, different kinds of tongues by Spirit. To another, the interpretation of tongues by Spirit. Okay, but one and the same Spirit. Can we say nature? Okay, works all these, distributing to each one individually as he wills. So we have these gifts by the Spirit. Okay, that Spirit is God's nature that we received at salvation. Now that is Imago Dei. Do you follow that? Praise the Lord. Okay, so you see that these gifts can be classified into three. Amen. There was a good man named Howard Carter who did that for us. Amen. He divided these gifts into the revelation gifts, the power gifts, and the utterance gifts. Amen. The revelation gifts, the power gifts, and the utterance gifts. Now, the revelation gifts are gifts that help you to see supernaturally, just like God. Amen. Now, these gifts include the word of knowledge. Amen. The word of knowledge is the ability to know facts supernaturally about the past and the present. That is the word of knowledge. Okay, then you have number two under that, the word of wisdom. The word of wisdom is the ability to know facts about the future. Amen? To see ahead. Then you have the discerning of spirits. Now, the discerning of spirits is that gift that helps you know what spirit is operating at a given time. Amen? You know, actually, we just have three spirits. Amen? God, men, and angels, right? Okay, what you call demon spirits are angels. Amen? Just fallen angels, all right? So God, men, and angels. So the descending of spirits is that gift that helps you realize which spirit is working at a particular time. Hallelujah. All right? Now you know that only God is gifted to know things supernaturally. Right? Only God knows the past. Only God knows the present fully. Right? Okay? Only he can see the future. But because we are now in his image, we also can do likewise. Praise the Lord. Okay? Not only that, the power gifts. What are the power gifts? The power gifts are those gifts that help us to do supernaturally. Amen. Divided into three as well. The gifts of healings. The gifts of healings is to minister healing to a body without medical care. Amen. All right. The working of miracles is sort of like a divine intervention. Amen. You know, a perfect illustration of this is a video game. You know, in video games, there's a way it's been programmed, right? You know, you hit him, he dies, right? You step on this coin, you get 20 points, right? Then you know there are cheats. Come on, don't look holy. You use those cheats, right? Aha. Okay, there are cheats, right? You can use. Now, that is a miracle. Things have been programmed to go this way, but there is something I can do to make it go another way. That is a miracle. Okay, it doesn't follow the natural order of things. You know, there are laws in place, right, in nature. A miracle is something that bypasses those laws. Hallelujah. That is the working of miracles. Say, we work miracles. Hallelujah. Okay, then faith. Faith is to receive passively what the working of miracles and the gifts of healings does. Now, you know that only God has omnipotence, right? Only God can carry out supernatural deeds, right? But look at this. Once God had children, his children took after him. Praise the Lord. In power. So we can also do the same. Not only that, we have the utterance gifts. The utterance gifts are those gifts that help us to speak supernaturally, just like God. Okay? Now, divided into three, tongues, interpretation of tongues, and prophecy. Now, tongues is God's language. Amen? Now, look at this. Which men now speak? You get it? Okay? All right? Only God understands that language. Paul tells us that, right? 1 Corinthians 14 verse 2, he says, for he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. So it's his language, right? Okay? It says, for no one understands him, albeit in the spirit, he speaks mysteries. Okay? So we now talk like him. Come on. We now talk like him. Amen? We now talk like him. Praise the Lord. Okay, take your seat. All right? And this is expected because we are his children. We speak the same language. Just like the way your dad is Yoruba, you speak Yoruba. Do you get it? The new creation, we speak tongues. Praise the Lord. Now, not only that, okay, we speak the same language and we also understand what we are saying. Do you get it? Not only do we speak the same language as our father, we can also understand what we are saying. Now, that is what? The interpretation of tongues. Praise the Lord. Do you see that? Okay. Now also, you see that God in the Old Testament would often speak to encourage his people, right? To edify his people, right? To comfort his people, right? Okay. You see that in Isaiah. Isaiah 40 verse 1 says, comfort, yes, comfort my people, says your God. Right? So we too now do the same when we prophesy. Hallelujah. Look at 1 Corinthians 14 verse 3. It says that he who prophesies speaks what? Edification and exhortation and what? Comfort. Is it the same thing God does when he speaks? Yes. Okay, to man. Do you see that? So in Christ, God's image has been restored. Do you follow that? So imago Dei is every man in Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you see that now? Okay, so when I speak in tongues, that is imago Dei. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. When I prophesy, that is imago Dei. When I cast out a demon, that is imago Dei. Praise the Lord. When I work a miracle, I'm acting like my father. Do you get it? You know, it's just the same way a bird flies. Right? Because it's in his nature. Do you follow that? You know, a bird does not have to pray. Do you get it? Imagine you see a bird crying. Oh, I can't fly. It's your nature. Do you get it? Hallelujah. Okay, so we are exactly like him. Okay, we speak like him. Please take your seat. Okay, we speak like him, we talk like him, we look like him, we do like him. Okay, so the gifts of the spirit, what is called the gifts of the spirit, are simply the characteristics, the attributes that we inherited from our father. Do you get it? So in Christ, what did God do? God gave his very nature to the sons of men. Oh, thank you, Lord. Okay, so let's say this together. Say, I am the image of my father. So I am, come on, the image of my father. So I look like God in word, deed, and power. Say, I resemble him, come on. Say, I resemble him. Say, in Christ, I have been made in the image, come on, and the likeness of God. Say, I have his very nature. Now, say, I have, come on, his very nature. Now, say, I have his DNA. Now, say, I'm righteous. Say, I'm holy. Say, I'm blameless, just like he is. Say, I have his power. I have his abilities. I have his giftings. I can speak in tongues, come on. I can understand what I've said. I can speak in tongues. I can understand what I've said. I can prophesy. I can know facts. Come on, I can know facts supernaturally. I can cause things
to happen by power. Say, I can heal the sick. Come on. I can work miracles. I raise the dead as he is. So am I in this world. I am Imago Dei. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Lift your hands. Give him praise. Thank him. Oh, thank you, Lord. Say, I am Imago Dei. I am his image. Thank you, Lord.